Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, it's time for Wiggy, James, and Fallon.
Oh, no!
Let me finish!
But you're talking about
Let
a different
me
team.
Finish.
But
Thank
you're
you.
Not making
Let
sense.
Let me finish.
You are
Let me finish.
Jermaine Wiggins, Mark James, and Courtney Fallon.
What was he just doing with his tongue right there?
On WEEI.
No,
good Sunday morning. It's James, Wiggy Fallon, Mark with a C, James, Jermaine Wiggins, Courtney Fallon. Good morning, everyone. I don't know. I hope you guys did. If you didn't, but I will let you know today. I come in with a heavy heart that my man, my guy, Deontay Wilder lost last night. Did you watch a fight?
No, I was at my wife and I. We went to Encore and we was just kicking it, partying or whatever. And I didn't get a chance to even see the fight, but I heard it this morning.
Yeah.
You were at the casino and you didn't even pop into one of the rooms to go see the fight.
No, because we went to we was at.
I feel like that's impossible.
Well, no, but here's the thing. I don't think they showed it.
Is it Memoir?
Oh, Memoir is the club.
Yeah, we were there.
I don't think they showed it anywhere because a friend of mine was with it. We called and we went to somewhere else, which was not exactly centrally located to see it. And it was packed. So did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
I was home. So I was watching. I don't get pay-per-view at home.
I was watching
the Bruins game, which was just about as bad of a slaughter as I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I turned it on because Pasternak got one of his 44th goal. And I was like, wow, this is great. They're only down by one. And then.
Oh, yeah.
And then it just was.
Vancouver scored their most goals since 96.
Yeah, 99-3. So I chose that, but I was watching on social media. Like, this intro stuff. Was he trying to be an anime character? A king on a throne? I don't understand. One of the worst intros.
No, it was memorable.
That's what they're doing now. You know, they got to keep the sport going. And Deontay Wilder, he's like that. He's got, like, when he comes in with his intros, he's wearing the mask.
Right.
Was the fight good, though?
No. Okay. I mean, it's just not like, you know, I will say this. So I only placed a bet yesterday. The over-under was 10.5 rounds. I went under.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you won that one.
How much did you win?
A good amount.
Okay.
A good amount. So, but it was a bittersweet because I knew Deontay Wilder about 6 or 7 years ago when I was in Atlanta. He would come in studio. I put the avatar of him in studio of me and him about 6 years ago, and he was on the come up, and I was happy for him when Mayweather fought Pacquiao 5 years ago. He was there, and we hung out after the fight, and I was sort of his unofficial publicist, keeping all the people away. We hung out with his brother Marcellus, and he's a great guy, and I guess, you know what? You just don't pay attention. But out of the 19 rounds that he fought Tyson Fury, Tyson Fury outboxed him 15 out of 19 rounds.
Well, Deontay Wilder's just like a haymaker puncher. He's just swinging from the fences, trying to knock you out every time.
But he's got the jab, and he didn't use it.
Well, he's long, but if you've seen some of his other fights, it's just him dropping bombs from everywhere. And where you see Tyson Fury, you watch kind
unorthodox.
Of, yeah, you know, a little bit more of a boxer than Wilder. Wilder's just looking to knock your head off. And sometimes that's what happens when you fight a guy who's a boxer that can stand in there and kind of pick you apart a little bit. If you don't hit with that giant haymaker, then that's ultimately what happens. But I think it's just, doesn't it set up the third fight?
Third fight. Well, now he has 30 to 60 days, Deontay Wilder, to accept it. But Tyson Fury's like, hey, it's out there, and I don't have a problem with it. I thought Max Kellerman brought up an interesting point last night, because I got home after the fight and I watched the post-boxing on FS1. And you know what? Say what you want about Max Kellerman.
I was just about to say, say what you want about him. I mean, that's his forte.
That is, yes.
He's so intelligent. He's poignant. He's very good.
Yeah, I'm not with you. Exactly. Hey, did you like with Ben Affleck? Get him up this week.
He addressed him a little bit.
Ben Affleck said, if you don't think Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback in NFL history, then you're not qualified to talk about sports.
No.
He said to his face.
Yeah, he addressed him.
That's my boy. It was just like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he got him. He got him. But I'm sad. I'm sad because it just, you know what? It's just weird. I remember, you know, I'm a big fight fan. When it gets to, you know, like, not like the obscure guys, but remember a guy who knocked off Antonio Tarver back in 2000? You remember a guy, Wiggy, by the name of Jermaine Taylor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jermaine Taylor was awesome. He's a great middleweight. He was going to be like, oh, this next big thing. And then he ran into a guy named Kelly Pavlik, an unorthodox white guy out of Youngstown, Ohio. And Pavlik beat him in a fight. So then they had a rematch. And I'm like, all right, well, this is Jermaine Taylor's chance to show the world that was a fluke. And Pavlik beat him again.
Well, wasn't Pavlik like a pretty decent fighter in his career?
He was okay, but he wasn't, but Tyson Fury, he's just that good. He's great. He's like, you know what? You look at him, and he came in the fight. He put on 15 pounds more than the previous fight. He outweighed Wilder by 42. Wilder's in better shape. He looks chiseled from granite. He looks like a Greek god.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter in boxing.
I know.
You've seen the Anthony Joshua and the Ruiz fight.
Yeah.
You know, boxing, I think it's good for boxing, though, if you look at the overall, you know, Wilder and Fury. I think that's pretty, it's good for boxing because isn't it like a dying sport?
Yeah.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
First of all, are the new streaming services, I know DAZN has kind of taken over for Showtime Sports or HBO.
Yep. Yeah.
Do you feel like it's too scattered? It's like, hey,
well,
where
Canelo
do I,
fights
where
on
do
that
I
one.
Watch? Yeah, no, right. But there's just, there's, they're. I feel like they're trying to oversaturate the market with more networks or
well,
more
a
boxing?
Lot of the guys like at that DAZN place over there, like a lot of them are going there because of big paydays.
Yeah, well, that's because basically John Skipper, who used to run ESPN and was let go in the wake of a scandal, started DAZN, and that's why. So he's the guy that's in front of it.
Yeah,
but if anyone were to save the sport of boxing, which boxer would you say is like kind of the future?
Well, because Fury keeps talking about retiring. He wants to be done after a couple fights.
Yeah. So who's the face of boxing right now is my question.
And by the way, that's a great question, Courtney. Here's the thing. There is no face. Boxing just lost last night.
You'd have to really be, I would say maybe for the heavyweight division, it was Deontay Wilder, but you'd have to really, really be plugged in and know boxing and, because there's no more like, well, at least for me as somebody who's, and I'm not a huge boxing fan. I'm kind of like, you know, I'm a pink hat boxing fan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I don't know enough of the names, and there's only like a really few names that you go, okay, I would watch.
Like you mentioned Joshua, he's one of them.
Yeah, yep. But even him, like he loses to Ruiz, and you're like, you know, there's no Mayweather, Pacquiao,
Evander Holyfield.
There's no boxer out there, at least for me, that you're gonna go, oh, I want to watch this match.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Have you seen any of the videos of Mike Tyson just doing some sparring? It's unbelievable. The guy could probably still go into the ring. I mean, albeit 60 pounds overweight.
Yeah, sure.
Have you seen his? I mean, his reaction and the speed of his punches.
He's super quick.
He's still the biggest attraction in ball of boxing.
He was there last night. Lennox Lewis was there. Evander Holyfield was there. They showed all the celebs in the audience. So they had Mark Davis next to John Gruden. I'm like, uh oh, is Brady there? Where's Tom Brady? And I didn't show. And so I guess maybe he didn't go to the fight last night. Maybe he was not there. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon were in the house, so they
That was one of those fights, right?
Right.
There's only a few of them. If Canelo fights or
you know what,
he might be the face of boxing.
Yeah, you know who had a main. He had a was right in the hard camera angle, third or fourth row. Colin Coward. Hmm. He was at Stephen A. Smith. They were in the main seats.
A lot of the major television guys. They're big. Boxing fans, because think about like what the pedigree of where they, you know, how they grew up.
I think
it's one of those. I've always said this in sports media. There's the four major sports. There's hockey, football, basketball, baseball, and then everyone needs to have one sport that they're a specialist in the second tier. That's tennis.
Or what about
boxing.
UFC?
I know,
but UFC is one of those.
Yeah,
sports,
no, UFC. It's UFC. It's boxing.
UFC.
It's tennis.
UFC's what? Isn't it bigger than boxing?
Oh, no doubt,
right? Yeah.
Dude, by the way, you can make an argument, Wiggy, that UFC is bigger than baseball.
Yes, I would say.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. How many people do you think would pay $75 to $100 to see a baseball game on a paper? You know what I mean?
I think for the entertainment factor, but right, I just mean when I say it's more for the popularity standpoint or the publicity standpoint.
Sure.
Yeah, I would say that UFC is definitely bigger than boxing because you could probably you could drop, 5 to 10 UFC fighters' names, where in boxing it's gonna be, unless you're a diehard fan, it's going to be hard for you. But I would say just the popularity of the UFC, it seems like the personalities. McGregor is one of those guys that has that good personality. I just think in boxing, I don't know. At least it's like, I don't know, like, if you fight, who are those guys? You know what I mean? Like, when you look at boxing nowadays, and that's, like I said, I'm not a huge boxing fan.
Terrence Crawford's one of them. Who's that though?
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
When you think about it,
he's a great boxer. He's got a tremendous record, but it's just a point that as the late great Burke Sugar used to say, who covered boxing, Terrence Crawford isn't even a household name in his own household. That's what he would say, and that's what it is. He's 36 and 0. Could anybody, and I can't even either. Could you point out Terrence Crawford if you saw him walking on the streets? No.
I have to Google him first.
You're right. And Courtney, you just mentioned that the face of boxing just got. And let me just tell you this: he was dominated last night.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this because we ended up leaving, and look, we thought the ref stopped it a little premature early. Then I got home, we found out that his corner threw in the towel.
Oh, did they?
Michael Breland, one of the former boxers, threw in the towel. But then afterwards, I was listening to, all the analysts and Timothy Bradley, and they said, you know what? He did the right thing. I mean, he just got dominated, dude. He had and I saw it too. From the fifth round on, he just didn't have it. And even Brian Kenny was like, yeah, he goes, he had no starts from the fifth round. He was on rubber leg street. He had nothing left. He was just prolonging the inevitable.
So then I wonder if their third fight will even be a good fight. Because in the first fight, it was Tyson Fury, beat him every round. But because
he knocked him down twice.
And then if you said that in the seven rounds, Fury beat him in all seven.
Oh, he killed him. He dominated
him. So I wonder if the third fight would even be.
Well, that's why Max Kellerman, I mentioned him. He brought up a good point last night. He said if he was Wilder, he wouldn't go that route. He would go and fight somebody else and then Fury. But people said, well, Fury keeps threatening retirement, that he's only got a couple left. So you almost, but I give Fury credit. And another thing too, they had a post-fight interview I saw on ESPN last night where they got Wilder in the ring after the fight. And he was making excuses, but then he goes, I don't want to make excuses, but I was dealing with something, with his legs or something that prevented him from being the best. And it was like, and I'm like, dude, you just got dominant. And the thing that hit me too is when they said, if you look at both fights, 19 rounds, that Fury dominated Wilder 15 out of 19 rounds. That's domination. That's the exact definition of domination. He was just the better fighter in the first fight. He was the better fighter last night.
Right.
And now you're like, and here's the thing that Wilder and that next fight, and if it does happen, if it's going to happen in the fall, September, October, November, whatever, if it does happen, if Wilder accepts the rematch and he loses that,
right?
Wiggy, yeah, then it's over.
Right.
He's going to be at. He's going to be at state.
It's like Ronda Rousey. Do you remember how fast Ronda Rousey fell from the?
Wiggy, well, race. How about this one? Do you remember how fast Roy Jones Jr. fell?
Yeah.
He was wrestling literally at county fairs after like a year.
I would imagine, right? So if you're Tyson Fury, right? You who do you look at as, because you really look at Anthony Joshua as the other one, but then he gets beat by Ruiz.
Yep.
Then you kind of go, did they ever have their rematch, Ruiz and Joshua?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yep.
So I wonder, like, if you're Tyson Fury, where do you go? Do you fight Ruiz? But I know I heard him on Mike Tyson's Hot Box, and he has a podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said he would beat Ruiz with one hand tied behind his back.
Hey, at this juncture, I didn't think that. Joshua's 23-1, so that could be a fight. And
But how would you fight him when Ruiz beat Joshua? Right. So wouldn't Ruiz be like next in line or between Fury? Because there's only a few heavyweights that I would think about, that, and those are the couple names, unless you're going
to
just do
the... here's the thing, just to make your point on what you're saying. You ready for this? Just tell me, stop me if you've heard of these people. Joseph Parker?
No.
Okay. Literally, I've never heard of this guy. It's like, you're talking about like top 10... Daniel Dubois?
No.
Okay. Adam Kwanecki?
Nope.
20-0. Luis Ortiz I've heard of, but Andy Ortiz is the better fighter. I've heard of a Luis Ortiz, yeah. But he's 40. He's 40. Dillian White.
No.
Okay. Alexander Usyk.
Nope.
Yep.
Sound like a hockey player.
Andy Ruiz, you mentioned him. We've heard of him. Anthony Joshua, you mentioned him. And that's it. You've got literally a handful, and then you're after the top two, Fury and Wilder. You are grasping at straws. It's a niche sport. It's been dying, and you needed this sport. And I tell you, I thought last night, you know, who's the biggest loser last night besides Deontay Wilder?
Who?
Boxing.
Yeah.
Boxing, because this was an American who was the best heavyweight we've seen since Tyson, and he went down, and he went down hard. So he was, to me, boxing was the biggest loser last night.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, what sucked. It was just like one of
I think you make a good point, Mark. You said it's like a niche sport. You got to, you know, that's what people who are probably watching it, you know, I knew that it was on last night, but it wasn't like something that I had to see. Or, you know, I said during the week, yeah, I'll probably check it out. But then when something else came up, I was like, you know.
To answer your question, Joshua did beat Ruiz in the rematch.
Okay.
You know. So there's, but again, we don't know this. Golovkin, I don't know what happened to him. Triple G. I don't know where he was the guy for a while, but then he just sort of,
didn't he fight Canelo or something
like
that?
Here's the thing. I feel like that's par for the course in boxing. It's like, you've got a big name and you stay at the top of the ranks for maybe two and a half years.
Yeah.
And then the fall is like, it's like a cliff dive.
Precipitous.
That's it, you know?
Yeah. It's like a...
That's why I just... boxing to me is just... I mean, it's interesting. It's you want to... I feel like a lot more people... I remember watching some of the UFC fights earlier this year. When I was back still in LA, I was over at a couple of my friends' houses watching the matchups. I feel like that garners way more attention and buzz.
I wonder what real boxing fans would say, what maybe they think is the issue with the sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I would just say, as someone who's, but I'm an outsider looking in, I would feel like that, you know, it almost seems like when I remember boxing, it was like, at every division, there were always, you know, a handful of guys that you knew of. Now,
yes,
like, you just went through the heavyweight division, and you're like, who? Who?
Yeah, right.
Who?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Yeah.
You know, and
you sound like an owl, right?
Right.
It's true.
You know, you think about the era that maybe we remember was, you know, Tyson, Lennox Lewis, Holyfield.
Yeah.
Foreman
came back and won the title.
It seemed like there was more guys that you recognized who they were.
Well, even in the middleweight, you go back to Wiggy to the 80s, and you remember the middleweight division. You had Thomas Hitman Hearns, Brockton Zone Marvin Hagler Hitman.
Yep.
Or not in it, but Marvelous Marvin Hagler, mm-hmm. and then the Hitman Thomas Hearns, Sugar Ray.
Yep.
You just knew. You just they just it was
Roberto Duran in that.
Roberto Duran was in that too, and before he said no mas, and he sort of faded off into oblivion. You know, but then
you know that the only reason I know that is because of a Jay-Z lyric. Literally, there was, I think he said, you know, Roberto Duran said no mas. That's a...
Yeah, I think he has a son that boxes.
Yeah,
Duran.
Right. Yeah, so you know, it's one of those things that it was, I mean, I watched, like I said, just talking with you two, and it hit me that besides Deontay Wilder, the biggest loser last night was boxing is because we have an American who was 42-0. Mm-hmm. He was 42, and I thought there was a chance that he was going to surpass Mayweather's perfect of 50-0. Mm-hmm. He was dominating. He was going to, you know, get there, and he was going to do something. Here's the thing. It wasn't a lucky shot. He just got dominated last night.
You know who might be the biggest name in boxing? Is probably Mayweather.
Yeah.
Even though you're hoping that maybe he comes out and he comes out of retirement and fights again, which I would even watch him and McGregor again.
They said Pacquiao could fight.
Right, but I
not,
would
not say, him and Pacquiao. No, Pacquiao would.
Pacquiao's in. He's into politics right now.
Pacquiao's the, like, isn't he the champion? Then he just beat guy.
Yeah, they said Pacquiao now might fight. It wasn't Mayweather. It wasn't that rematch that he could fight. Oh, McGregor. Pacquiao would fight McGregor now.
Okay.
So that would be
Conor's doing that. Here's my problem with Floyd Mayweather boxing is just how he's such a showboater. He doesn't throw punches until he's a defensive fighter. And it's
he's a points guy.
He'll bounce around. He won't even throw a punch until like the seventh round. It just drives me nuts. Like, I can't watch him box.
It depends on what style of fighting you like. He's like, his is the sweet science of defense and not getting hit. So there are people out there that might like that. Then there are people out there that love, you know, like the Pacquiao's and you know, I remember seeing the Mickey Ward and the Arturo Gatti fights where it's just bombs away. And then there's obviously, you know, heavyweights that throw a lot. But it depends on what type of style you like it. But I would think when you look at Mayweather, he's probably still the biggest name in boxing. You go,
yes. Well, look at to localize it in a different sport. Just let me ask you guys this. And even to the fans out there, 617-779-7937. If I say to you now, just not you guys, but mm-hmm. from an outsider's perspective of a casual or just in general, who's the face of the Red Sox still?
Wow. The face of the Red Sox.
It's Big Poppy. He's still the face of the Red Sox.
He looks like he could suit up too.
Now that Mookie's got, he's still the face of the Red Sox. And that's the thing. Mayweather's been retired now for like a year, 2 years. He's still the face of boxing. After Deontay Wilder, when the Titanic sunk last night for boxing, that's a big loss for that sport.
But I even think with Deontay Wilder, I even think even before this fight, I think Mayweather was still
probably
I'm not saying that a lot of people didn't know who Deontay Wilder was, but I just don't know if his just hit like Mayweather. Like when you think of the name, you know, I don't know. It just seems, now, like I said, I'm an outsider looking in at boxing. So I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems like, and I know there's probably a ton of talented boxers out there, but for whatever reason, maybe you just don't follow the sport no more. It's just something about it.
Well,
It doesn't resonate.
And here was the thing. We had somebody that was red. He had first of all, Deontay Wilder, say what you want. Say, you know, yeah, he's a little brash and whatever, but he's really a humble guy. Ultimately, what comes down to, he keeps his, you know, his wife and the people have been around him a long time. But you look at him, let's be real, he looks like a matinee idol. I mean, he's got the smile. He looks like he's on GQ.
Yeah, he's got a good personality.
He's got that, you know, he's very gregarious when he's meeting people. And he's got, he was,
I think
40.
They both do. I think Tyson Fury and Wilder both have that.
See, I can't hate Fury. I mean, Fury's just one of those, he's like, you know, he's from the UK and he just owns Wilder.
But I think they both have, like with boxing, it's because you brought up Mayweather's style a little bit, but I think a lot of with boxing is it seems like it's about the personality of the person. A, you want to see him fight and knock somebody out, or B, you want to see him get knocked out.
That's
like,
right.
You know, a lot of people want with Mayweather, so that's why they see his fights. And when you think of Fury and you think of Wilder, they both have pretty good personalities.
They do.
Where you're like, all right, I want to see them fight just because of their outside ring presence, you know?
Fury's like a less acerbic Conor McGregor. Like, where Conor McGregor is just out of control.
I think Conor, you know? I like the crossover between him and UFC into boxing. Because it's like,
well, here's the thing.
even the ads that they were running.
Though. I know.
With the Eminem ads, and he was like, nah, nah,
because
nah,
I watched
nah,
the fight, and I'm like, okay. I was,
he held himself against Mayweather. He did.
I was into it, and I was into it. He held his own, but how much of that was just Mayweather just playing around with him?
For sure. First of all, he had no, when you were traditionally trained UFC, it's quick. He had no endurance in that fight. Like, you could tell.
No, it went like 10 rounds, though.
Oh, no, but you could tell.
I think that's because
Mayweather let him. Gassing.
I know.
He was
gassing. I always wondered, do you feel like if he fought Pacquiao, you know, who's a little bit more aggressive. Would it even be, because the two worlds are completely different. You know, could you imagine Floyd Mayweather fighting in the UFC? He'd probably get killed in two minutes.
Oh my God.
So now you got McGregor and I give him credit. He tried to make the transition, but it's just, you know, he's a fish out of water with like somebody, because it felt like Mayweather, when you saw that fight, he was just kind of toying around with McGregor.
Yeah, but it was actually an entertaining fight. It was I'll tell you what, I covered Mayweather Pacquiao in 2015, 5 years ago, and I guess when you're there, you don't realize that, because you don't realize the fight is as bad as you do as if you paid $100 for it sitting at home. Mm-hmm. You're like, this sucks. When you're, but then you start to realize, like, they're just dancing around. They're nobody's really hitting each other.
I can't.
That's the only reason.
Are you kidding me? The most overhyped fight in boxing history.
It was overhyped, but I think McGregor did a really good job. Him and Floyd Mayweather.
They did.
Of like promoting the fight. Yeah. So that's why you were so intrigued to watch it. And McGregor does a good job of that anyway. So that's what makes him, you know, that's what makes him a draw. That's what makes Fury a draw. That's kind of what makes Wilder a draw, is they do a good job of promoting, and you go, okay, I want to see.
That's right.
See them
fight. You start to, and I got to tell you, this week you had two huge networks, ESPN and Fox, FS1, co-promoting this.
Right.
You had Inside Wilder Fury 2, four parts. So you had them both co-promoting, and they did a great job together. We'll talk to you guys. Your problem, like, what do you think about boxing? Has it died? Did you watch the fight last night? What did you think? We got a bunch of people want to chime in on that. 617-779-7937. That last night was just sort of a, man, I guess I won. Deontay.
Well, you watched the fight. I didn't watch the fight.
No, I didn't watch it.
He got dominated.
But you said, the bigger loss was boxing.
It was.
So
they took the huge, they to me, as much as it hurt Deontay Wilder, because now there's that oval that in the right hand column, which is a big goose egg, a zero, is now one. And that ultimately, that was a huge, huge setback for boxing last night. Huge.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder what, and you know, it'd be
but
good.
But does anyone actually care if they only care about pay-per-views and checks?
Well, I don't know. I understand what you're saying.
Fury's saying he wants to retire in a fight or two.
Well, yeah, because remember, Fury took off like 3 years and that kind of thing. But it'd be interesting to see people that are really invested in maybe both boxing and the UFC. Because I'm an outsider looking in at UFC. What is the difference with UFC versus boxing? Did they have a little bit more popularity?
It's a fan base.
It's fan base.
I'm telling you, it's a fan base. It's a niche. I mean, people. UFC has had a huge come up over the last few years, and people that are UFC fans. I mean, it's a completely different world. It's a way of different way of thinking. It's a different demographic. It's everything.
Yeah, and it's cool to not the younger generation. They got into it, and because you can do anything you can to your opponent, and then you have someone like McGregor. You had Ronda Rousey back in the day. You had Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz, and so now you have the new guys, and you know, John Bones Jones is back. So all right, we'll take your calls on that. Now it's time for trending.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying.
There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right back to Wiggy, James, and Fallon on WEEI.
He is the winner by way of technical knockout. He is still the undefeated lineal heavyweight champion and the new WBC heavyweight champion of the world. The Gypsy King, Tyson Fury!
Alright, that's what it was last night. It didn't start, by the way, until 12:15. So, here, local time, in the New England area, 12:15. So, he's the guy. He trained hard. I guess Wilder didn't train well enough. Here is also... from a boxing standpoint, for the purists who really follow this, and I, you know, caught this, Emmanuel Stewart's nephew, Javon Sugarhill Stewart, trained Fury. Okay. That was the first time.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Sugarhill Stewart trained Fury, and from the Kronk gym in Detroit. So this was, like, Fury had all the right people around him, and he... he just did it, man.
I saw the E60 about him, which was pretty cool.
Right.
You know, kind of got into how he had, like, mental health issues.
Right, he left.
Yeah, and he took... because when he beat Klitschko, he had, like, all five titles or something like that, five belts. But then he had some mental health issues, and then he had to just relinquish all those belts. And then he went away for, like, 3 years. He gained a ton of weight, and then that's when he kind of made his comeback in his first fight, or I want to say maybe his second... was his first fight, the first Wilder fight, I want to say, and a lot of people thought he was just going to get completely mollywopped, and that's when it was to he went to a draw. But think about this, right? So Fury won, and when you used to think about boxing, you'd go, okay, I can't wait to see him fight guy number, guy X. And it's not like that
there's
no more.
Because there's the pool of boxers that are at top quality. Like
and it's someone, so we have a lot of Mensa members on the text line this morning. And one of them texts in and goes, hey, Mark, there's going to be a huge rematch. How is that a bloated boxing dummy? Listen, it's tough. You must be, I'm going to use the word as Tim Robbins used to the warden in Shawshank Redemption. You must be obtuse. Here's why it is, as you call me a dummy. Because the face of boxing, an American who was the next guy to sort of take the torch of Floyd Mayweather. Oh, by the way, a guy who doesn't have a criminal record and who never actually violently abused and put his hands on a woman was the guy that was supposed to carry boxing and make it cool again. He lost. He's got the blemish. Now, if he comes back and wins, fair enough. But I got to tell you, they said even the next fight, he's going to be a massive underdog in the next fight. Mm-hmm. Last night, going into the fight, to win $100, you had to put up 140 if you bet on Wilder. 140 win 100. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to get that and then some back in the next fight. You put 100 on Wilder, you're probably going to get back 180 now.
But when you say that, though, I wonder if it makes the fight maybe a little bit better because he's going to be such a big underdog.
Yeah.
And do you go, all right, I want to see.
But we know.
Was he just fighting Scrabini? But
Courtney, we talked about in the first segment. Mm-hmm. If Wilder loses in the fall, okay, he's got to accept it. If he loses in the fall, he's at the town fair in a year.
I'm not surprised.
That's what happens.
I know it's a completely
how the boxing world works, right?
Yeah. That's it. Like, you're only, like, you're literally, you're one punch away from literally being at, you know, the Big E in West Springfield in September.
Right. Because of where you really have to climb the ladder. Because it seems like it's...
Next to some polka band.
Right. It seems like it's very difficult...
From Chicopee.
...to climb the ladder after you've been knocked... Like, after you had,
so
like,
tough.
Two losses.
It's...
And you've been sitting on the top.
Yeah. See, it's not... See, UFC... You could lose, like, Mayweather. I mean, McGregor's lost, and he's
lost a couple times, right?
So that's what I'm saying. It's different. All right, the phones, a lot of people want to chime in on this. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Dave in Boston. Thanks for holding. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good morning.
Good.
So just a few takes on the boxing. I'm actually really into it. I still, when Triple G was big, I know you mentioned Golovkin earlier, Wiggy. Mm-hmm. He was really big, and, you know, he kind of got... the bad edge of in my opinion, a bad decision twice in Vegas. And then he kind of spiraled off. But he's still doing his thing. He just wants the third rematch. But it's tough to get people to pay three times for the same fight.
Right. Again, he wants to fight who again?
Canelo.
He wants to fight with Canelo. Yeah. And Canelo, I would think, is actually the face of boxing now because he's fighting people in other weight classes.
Yeah.
As much as I don't really like him, mm-hmm. he's definitely the most prominent.
He did a beer
name.
Commercial with Sylvester Stallone, Rocky.
Yeah, well, he doesn't speak so, very good English, so
no.
You don't really see him doing a lot of talking.
Exactly.
But he's very, very talented as a fighter.
Dave, do you agree with me? Though, you being a boxing fan, do you agree with me that boxing took like a big L last night?
I do agree in a sense. I think that there's bigger issues because, like you guys were saying with the UFC and stuff like that, I think because there's no governing body and there's too many titles in boxing, nobody really knows who the main person is to beat now.
Well,
and,
you know,
like,
Fury is.
Joshua
we know that now.
Title.
Yeah.
No, but Joshua has a title.
I do. But Fury's got the WBC.
But I think Dave's right. I think Dave's right in the sense that this should just be one title. One heavyweight.
Too much money.
Yeah.
There's too much money so that nobody's really breaking the system. Like Dana White, I heard, wants to start his own boxing division, which I think would be great for the sport. But the people that you want to see fight, know that the money is not going to be there because there's a reason why a person who fights in a main UFC fight can still only get a couple million dollars.
Well, Dave,
if
last night,
just
FYI, we saw the number that came across. That broke the all-time revenue gate in the history of boxing. It did $16.86 million of revenue last night in tickets sold. It broke the Lennox Lewis Holyfield 1999 fight. So it was a huge moneymaker for boxing, but now it's like here's
but
the thing.
I think Dave makes a great point because think about it. There's like the WBA,
When did this lineal heavyweight? What's a lineal heavyweight?
Well, there's always seems like there's always been a lot of like different. Even when Tyson fought, it always seemed like there was a lot of different. I don't know, like what are they?
There's weight classes.
No, not weight classes, but belts. Like so, there's
IBF,
the IBF, there's a ton of different belts. So Tyson Fury is the heavyweight champ. But he could be like the IBF heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
And then Anthony Joshua could be like the WBC.
He's WBA now.
Or whatever it is, right? Yeah. So it's really rare that you kind of find somebody being unified who has all of them. That's why if you just had one belt.
I know.
It seems
I'm with you.
Why they don't do that.
And maybe Fury fights Joshua to unify. And then it's all back to, it's all consolidated.
But that's the thing. If it was just, in every division, it would be every weight class. If there was just, you know, if you were a heavyweight champ, you were a heavyweight champ in all of boxing.
Well, that's the same thing, too, with middleweight. Middleweight, you have light middleweight, super middleweight. Just middleweight's good enough.
Mm-hmm. Right, but those are weight classes, though, right?
Yeah.
There's a difference between weight classes. Is it like in the UFC, there's only one UFC heavyweight championship belt. There's not a WBC,
that's
UFC.
Right.
So,
that's right.
And regardless of what weight class there is, even in boxing, there's still multiple belts. If you just had one belt for every weight class, then you would know who was the true champ.
And that's the way it used to be.
Honestly, it's probably...
And then everybody would have to fight everybody.
I agree with you. It probably has to do with certain people. I mean, again, it's money.
That's right.
It's
all money.
It's this investor investing in this company, and it's like, it's that, and it's these people in this fight.
It might be like promoters or whatever the way.
I can't speak intelligently on it because I don't know.
Dana White... When it comes to UFC, and it's sort of a joke that the only guy who really makes the money, Dana White's called Conor McGregor a partner. So Conor McGregor gets a huge, unlike anybody else. Conor McGregor's even made fun of people. Like, he's like, what are you going to be making? $1.50 for this match? Like, shut up. Like,
well, that's why he has a good personality.
Well,
McGregor.
That's what you need. That's why he's able to.
He's the.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Don't honestly, like, I know that you said he's kind of a joke, but like, he kind of makes fun of the game in terms of like. Just the way that he acts.
But
that's exactly it.
Mike Tyson once said, and listen, Tyson Fury was on another sports talk show across the street last week, and they asked him, he does something to himself 7 times a day to get ready for the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you can imagine, Mike Tyson said he could do that and sell out Madison Square Garden. Conor McGregor has that it thing. You just put him in the ring. You put Conor McGregor on a mic. You don't even need to fight anyone. Just put him on a mic and have him talk trash about someone. I'm like, you're watching. You're paying for it.
He's a
needle mover.
He's one of those guys. He's like the, you know, it all started with Ali, right? He's one of the ultimate promoters.
Showman.
Showman. And you want to see him fight because of his personality and the way he builds up the fight. Tyson was the same way.
That's right.
You know, it was just like, man, look what Tyson's saying about, I got to see this fight.
I'm gonna eat your children.
Right.
Dan in Providence, that's what Tyson said. I would never say. Dan in Providence is up next. He wouldn't eat anyone's children. Hello, Dan.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I understand what you're talking about. There's a lot of things wrong with boxing that is wrong, and the belts are certainly one of them. But I got to defend a lot of the things that you guys are talking about that is just so wrong. As far as, you know, boxing being a dead sport.
Go for it.
Educate us.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So, you know, you want to talk about maybe on the East Coast, and, I can see that it loses a little bit because, like you said, main events don't start till midnight. But you want to talk about worldwide, boxing is incredibly popular. And let's talk about Mayweather for a second.
Okay, Danny's been retired for 2 years.
Okay, is that a long time?
Yeah.
He's literally been
retired. So, Dan, give us household names that people who are just, as Wiggy pointed, pink hat boxing fans, people would know that just show. Give us household names that people really would move a needle. Give them, because they're not more on one hand.
Can I make a quick point before I do that?
Yeah.
All right. So, McGregor's biggest payday was doing what? Boxing against Mayweather, who he didn't even make half of what Mayweather made. Mayweather, just not even 2 years ago, had an exhibition fight in Japan where he made $9 million for 30 seconds of work. Canelo, nobody has made even close to the money that boxers have in the UFC.
But Dan, you're not telling us why it's relevant to the public. Tell us why it's relevant. Give us the names that move.
Well, who's paying these people? Obviously, it's relevant if you're getting paid that much money.
But relevant is relative. We're talking about who are the needle movers. Your biggest needle mover last night.
Your
biggest needle mover lost. He took.
I would agree with Dan.
Dan, hold on. You're so wrong. Deontay White. Fury is more popular in the States than Deontay Wilder is. So you're way wrong.
Not in the U.S.
Dan, let me say this, Dan. I would agree with you. And I don't, you know, it's just based on the numbers that boxers make more money than UFC fighters. But I would
baseball players make more money than NFL players. Is baseball more popular than the NFL?
It seems like the UFC is for, like I said, myself, who's a pink hat, boxing or UFC fan, it seems like the UFC is more popular than boxing.
That's right. It is. So, Dan, give us the names that move the needle besides Wilder and Fury.
How about this? Tell me what UFC pay-per-view has had more buys than Mayweather.
You're not answering the question.
Dan, you're not give us the names besides Wilder and Fury who moved the needle and Canelo. Those three guys. Who moves the needle in boxing?
Yeah, those guys. Well, not well. Anthony Joshua, who, by the way, is selling out 80,000 people stadium.
I'll give you that, but I will tell you that's not enough to make people go spend 80. Like, that's fine, but people in this country, he does not move the needle. But go ahead, Anthony Joshua. Who else?
Bud Crawford, Mikey Garcia.
Oh, Mikey Garcia. I've never heard of him.
I've heard of Mikey Garcia.
There you go.
I think what he, might be saying, it's like soccer, right? Soccer's huge in other parts of the country.
Yeah, Mikey Garcia.
But in America, it's, you know, when we look at it on a bigger scale, soccer's not in the same category as one of the big four when you talk about popularity.
That's right.
And so, yeah, you might, boxing might be big in the UK, but in America, it's just, you know, we're kind of like you said, who's Mikey Garcia?
That's right. I'm Googling him. I've never heard of him.
I've heard of him before.
I've never heard of him.
He has a brother, too, that fights.
Yeah, okay. Mikey Garcia. That's just, okay.
He's like one of those.
Featherweight, super featherweight, light welterweight. Yeah. All right. He's in eight divisions, practically. Weatherweight, featherweight, lightweight, super featherweight, light welterweight. Okay, great. Yeah. Never heard of him. Thanks for letting me know. I'm looking at him now for the first time.
And I only remember him.
But Mikey Garcia, he's a household. I guarantee you. Hey, the guy who just called in, Dan in Providence, if Mikey Garcia was the main event last night, I can guarantee you, I don't know if they would have done 17,000 at the gate rather than 17 million. I'm just telling you, nobody knows who Mikey Garcia is, pal. Just letting you know. And that's the problem with your sport. All right, we'll continue to take this, your call, 617.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
779-7937.
This is Wiggy, James, and Fallon on WEEI.
All right, Wiggy, James, Fallon. 617-779-7937. This is kind of good. It's a little bit refreshing coming off the fight last night. We have full lines on boxing, which is nice.
When the last time that happened? Tyson Holyfield?
Better question.
98 when he bit his ear off.
Right, yeah. Better question, when's the first time it happened? I mean, really, it's like, whoa.
Tyson era was huge.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was just.
And then, you know, when you think about the Ali era,
you know what, too? Would have even been bigger if he didn't go
to jail.
If Don King didn't send a CPA to defend him in a rape case.
Right.
He would have even been even better. Let's go to Emily in Salem.
What's up, guys? Hi. I have like a million answers for you right now in terms of the questions that you've been asking.
Oh, all right.
Okay. So
hey, we always appreciate we want listen, more female perspective.
A female who's educated in boxing. I'm a boxer. Take the floor, my girl.
I'm a boxing pink hat, right. So
take,
I know
take
nothing.
Take the floor, my girl.
So, first of all, I've been covering boxing for 20 years, I'll just get that out of the way right now. Mostly photographically, I do radio, and I should have been there last night, but there are other things happening, so I chose not to be. But in any case, did boxing take an L last night? Absolutely not. If we had gone to the scorecards and we had seen it gone towards Deontay, we may have had a big issue there. I don't even think we would have had that issue, though, based on the judges that you had there, but boxing, if anything, last night opened up a lot of eyes because you had so many people who had been talking about this fight who weren't a boxing fan, who probably sat on the couch with a bunch of friends and watched the fight, who chose a fighter at the beginning of the fight just purely out of spite to other people and maybe became a fan last night because of what they saw happen. Now, Tyson Fury has a great character, so no matter who he fights, people are going to engage and watch. Yep. Wilder, not so much. I mean, he does have a character to him, but people, at least those who cover boxing, were starting to question, like, well, when are we going to see this guy fight somebody lucrative, number one? And we saw that when he fought Tyson Fury the first time. And then when are we going to, like, get him to be able to fight some rounds that people are going to go, okay, this guy's the real deal? Because prior to fighting Tyson Fury, we've seen these knockouts, right?
Sure.
He had one fight, probably around his eighth fight, that he got rocked by the fighter, and that footage has since gone. Oh no, I didn't say knocked down. I said knocked around.
Oh, okay. Knocked around. Yeah.
Knocked around. Okay.
Well, and you know what, Emily? Did you see the fight last night?
Of course.
Okay. So on the first one, because I wasn't sure, because a couple times he got tripped up and he slipped. But then once they showed the replay, the first time that Fury knocked him down, I was like, wow, that was a legit knock. And then he knocked him down again.
Yeah.
He caught him. And Emily, I'll be the first to tell you, I was when I got home, I was a little bit more mad to hear that JD did not throw in the towel. It was Mike Breland, which was one of his.
Yeah.
But they all said that. Like, the referee should have stopped it earlier, and so...
Absolutely.
Right.
And he was looking for, you know, he was looking more to give Wilder more time to recover. There were times where he didn't need to push them apart. He should have let them work themselves out. And I don't yell at the TV much. I was yelling at the TV last night. Just let them fight and let them try to work out. Now, there were other times he definitely needed to step in there. Absolutely. But there were times you could tell he was looking at Wilder like, okay, give me a little, I'm going to give you a little more time there. And I was like, you need to stop this fight now. He could have gotten serious.
But
Emily, and I know Wilder,
Emily, let me ask you this question, though. But
sure.
How do you maybe, I don't want to say save boxing because I don't think the sport is necessarily dying. But how do you?
Some people do.
How do you re-energize or
reinvigorate
boxing so that it's, you know, it's maybe on the same playing field as UFC when you think about just the way, you know, the pink hat fan looks at the UFC. Okay, what does boxing have to do, or
Wiggy, it's what you're doing right now. You guys talk about boxing when there's a big fight. Now I'm from Boston. I grew up here. I listen to you guys all the time. I listen to Boston sports radio. I read the papers. I watch the news. Boxing's only covered when something massive happens,
right?
Like this fight, and when something bad happens, you know?
Well,
and that's the problem with it, you know, that the casual fan, you know, knows about boxing. If they're following somebody on Instagram, they're like, oh, you're fighting. But the other problem is that promoters rely too much on social media, and they rely too much on their fighters to go out there and promote themselves. Now, granted, as a fighter, you kind of got to be a politician here. You got to go out there and promote yourself. I mean, that's the only way you're really going to be able to do it. You got to have some character to you, but you got to be true to who you are. You know, you don't go out there and make up a character and you come in there and be somebody that you're not. Tyson Fury, that is Tyson Fury.
It is.
That is his character.
Now Emily, let me interject one thing. And 5 years ago, I was lucky enough to cover the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, and we were talking about this off the air. That killed boxing. Killed it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the biggest problem is that people don't pay attention, and again, promoters need to go out there and promote, that there's a great fight card happening next week in Worcester at the Palladium. How many of you know about that?
Yeah, but nobody, none of us.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's on UFC Fight Pass. And the kid that's in the main event, Jermaine Ortiz, he's studying to be a doctor. Like, there's great stories here.
Yeah.
So that's where I come in. You know, that's my job now.
Emily, the last time I was the last time I was at the Palladium in 2000, I saw Prince in the beginning of his tour.
So that, well, now, but you need to come out and see a fight Friday night.
All right. Well, Emily, I will tell you, this is the best call of the day so far. We still got a few hours. But, Emily, I appreciate you shedding
some light on this.
That was great. Great call. Great way to break it down.
Talk boxing once a week, and I'm on for you guys anytime you want.
All right. All right. Emily in Salem, don't be a stranger.
Yeah, but what's the next
fight?
The next fight I got to look forward to?
Tyson Fury versus Wilder in the fall. If Wilder accepts it. Oh, don't forget, we got one of the callers, Dan in Providence.
So I got to wait.
Mikey Garcia.
So I got to wait. How many months is that?
That's about six months.
So I got to wait 6 months for another good fight.
But you have plenty of UFC matches to hold you over.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be what I'm looking forward to in the UFC.
I tell you, you know what boxing needs? Boxing needs more people like Emily. Emily, like, if Emily promoted the sport, she was out there, like, she really.
She probably does.
She convinced me. She can, like, she's sort of like, okay, maybe I need to get.
Nah, but she, I mean, she's a huge, you know, she loves boxing and she follows it, but somebody like myself, it's
I know.
All right.
I know. What's the next fight that I need to be? By the way, Wiggy, I was surprised coming in here today. I was just surprised. I thought that you would have watched the fight last night. I really did.
Yeah, I it's not one of those things.
Wiggy chose bottles and memoir. Over
we went
to the Encore,
and then
we wandered into the club, I mean, and it was game over.
Was Encore packed last night?
It was a good night. We went to Fratelli and got a little something there, and then we one of our friends was having a birthday party. We went to Memoir. My head almost blew off because of all the EDM. I was like, jeez. Can we get like
You almost threw up the deuces. We're like, Wig's out.
Yeah, so but you know, it was cool. But think about it now, what's the next fight, you know, that's going to be promoted where I can go, okay,
I know this guy it would have to be the rematch of this fight. That's it. In the fall.
When is McGregor coming back?
Well, they're saying that McGregor could fight Pacquiao. But here's the thing about Pacquiao.
Why do I feel like McGregor's just going to snap his fingers and try
McGregor's
to jump
not,
in?
McGregor's not gonna,
But here's the thing. McGregor Pacquiao, to me, it's to make a movie reference. It's Apollo Creed versus Ivan Drago. It's an exhibition.
I think McGregor's going to stick around in the UFC. Isn't he supposed to fight the Masvidal guy?
Masvidal,
I mean, that would be a pretty
And then obviously, you know, the best like UFC, like Khabib, is just he rules right now.
Did McGregor lose to him?
He got his ass kicked.
Right, maybe I might have heard.
Got his ass kicked by Khabib. Khabib kicked a crap out of
him. McGregor was saying, well, I had taken such a long time off.
Oh, hey, excuses are for losers. Dude, you got killed. Now maybe he comes back, and maybe he can do what he did after he lost to Nate Diaz and beat. I don't see it. Habib's the best in the world. He's the best in the world. All right, Wiggy, James Fallon, 617-779-7937. Lines are lit. Hour two next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.